The FBI investigation into a service selling 153 million driver's licenses is the kind of story that deserves more attention than it typically gets. Score of 250, 113 comments, reported by Brian Krebs, who is essentially the gold standard for this type of investigative security journalism. The scale here is staggering. 153 million records represents a substantial fraction of all licensed drivers in the United States. These aren't just names and addresses. Driver's licenses contain date of birth, physical description, address history, and in many states, digital representations that can be used for identity verification.
From a business and regulatory standpoint, this is exactly the scenario that federal privacy legislation has been attempting to address for years. The question of where these records came from is critical. Breach of a state DMV database, aggregation from multiple smaller data brokers, insider access at a verification services company, each origin has different legal and policy implications. The Krebs piece apparently doesn't yet have a definitive origin identified, which means the investigation is still in early stages, but the FBI involvement signals this is being taken seriously at a federal level.
The HN comments are doing something interesting here. A significant portion of the discussion is about the structural problem of driver's licenses being used as identity documents in the first place. The U.S. essentially outsourced national identity infrastructure to 50 separate state DMV systems with wildly varying security postures. And the result is that a compromise of any one of them creates national-scale identity risk. Several commenters are pointing to EU models, where identity infrastructure is more federated, but also more standardized.
This is actually a place where I'd push back slightly on the Europe does it better framing. European national ID systems have their own breach histories, and the centralization that makes them more consistent also creates larger blast radius when a compromise does occur. The decentralized American system is inefficient and inconsistent, but it also means there's no single point of failure. Though I'll grant that 153 million records suggests the practical outcome in this case hasn't been great.
Fair point. The real question for individuals is what they can actually do about this, and the honest answer is very little, beyond freezing credit and being vigilant about identity verification requests. The records, if they've been circulating in criminal markets, are already in circulation.
Mozilla's ad blocker launch for Firefox on iOS is a meaningful story in this context, because it's about who controls the browser layer and therefore who controls what data gets transmitted. Score of 506, 166 comments, strong engagement. Apple's App Store policies have historically prohibited third-party browsers from using their own rendering engines on iOS, which meant Firefox on iOS was essentially a Safari wrapper with a Firefox skin. The ability to ship a real ad blocker is a sign that either Apple's policies have relaxed, or Mozilla has found a way to implement this within the WebKit constraint.
The technical mechanism appears to be Apple's Content Blocker API, which allows extensions to define blocking rules that Safari and Safari-based browsers can enforce without the extension seeing the actual network traffic. Mozilla has implemented their own blocking rule set within that framework, which is more privacy-preserving than traditional proxy-based ad blocking, but also somewhat less flexible. The HN comments have a detailed breakdown of what this can and can't block compared to uBlock Origin on desktop Firefox.
The business implications for Mozilla are real. Firefox's market share on desktop has been declining for years, and mobile was essentially a non-factor because of the iOS engine restriction. A genuine ad blocking capability differentiates Firefox on iOS in a way that raw performance numbers can't, particularly for privacy-conscious users. And the privacy-conscious segment, while still a minority, is growing as high-profile data stories like the driver's license case keep surfacing.
The weed-out extension for Safari is a nice complement to this story. It's a show HN that scored 154 with 67 comments, and it does something specific. It hides YouTube videos that have been labeled by YouTube's AI as AI-generated content, which is a fascinating recursive situation, using AI detection labels as a filtering mechanism within the browser.
The HN community reception is mixed in an interesting way. Some people find it genuinely useful for preserving signal quality in their YouTube experience. Others point out that YouTube's AI labeling is itself unreliable enough that you'd be blocking real content with false positives. And a third camp is asking the meta question of whether filtering out AI-labeled content is the right heuristic. Quality isn't the same as human-generated, and human-generated content can be low quality too.